CBS, the Crossroads Broadcasting System, welcomes you to a titanic struggle between Brian Tomes Panthers and Brian Wells Patriots. It is a classic face-off, and as we approach the opening kick, you can feel the excitement starting to build inside the dome. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I'm Brad Johansson, along with my broadcast partner and Bengals scout, John Garrett. Thrilled to have you here for this Super Bowl once again today. Brian Tome, obviously the senior pastor, the defending champion, and statistical favorite to win it once again this year. Brian Wells, who likes to consider himself the thinking man's Brian Tome, back again this year, and probably, John, in every sense of the phrase, will not go away. The underdog, the favorite, how do you see this?
It just doesn't get any better than this, Brett. I think both of them realize what's at stake today. Can you feel the energy? They're both pumped up and they'll be ready.
I think it's starting to build. It's kind of surprising that these two gentlemen have made it back to this final game again this year, considering their lackluster performance last year. It's almost as if they're really the only two teams to choose from. We build into this listening to a lot of these guys, doing a lot of smack talking going on throughout the week. Brian Wells has said something, at least according to a couple of some of my unnamed sources, because that's what I do is talk to unnamed sources, saying that he may have what's called a secret weapon. Have you heard anything about that?
You know, I don't know. We have to see what he has in store.
Okay. We look at this. We've seen it through the year. Give us the keys to this particular game.
Number one, handling the unexpected. How are they going to handle adversity and deal with it? Number two, look for Tone to be the aggressor. Were Wells much more conservative in his approach? And then secondly, watch for Tone going to the well too often with the Harley Davidson references, no pun intended.
Oh, that's cute, yeah. Tommy Boy was used a lot last year. Do you expect any of that to come back?
I do not. Defenses have caught up with that. Yeah. I wouldn't expect it.
Okay, we can't really talk about this game without taking us back a little bit to last year and the championship game, something that we saw that was a controversial call that may have turned the tide. Take a look at the videotape on this.
You have to ask yourself the question, what do I want with my life?
A lot of penalties in this game. This was a controversial penalty because Tome was affecting a lot of people in the front row. This was one of the situations that we had seen. Now, some of the other people that I talked to last year, this may affect some of the people in where they're sitting now. But I have spoken to some other people who have said in the off season, Tome has had his salivary gland surgically removed. That could be a factor. I don't know whether that's going to be a big factor in this game.
I don't think so. We can't even confirm that he did it. I don't see any scars. He looks like he's recovered if he's had it anyway.
Yeah, obviously. Okay, well, these guys don't like to talk to each other face-to-face. We know that. But Susan Johnson caught up to both of them before the game.
Hi, I'm here with Brian Tome, last year's Super Bowl champion. Brian, can you tell us what you've done to prepare for this year's game?
Well, I think the primary thing you have to understand, again, is that I am the champion. The primary thing is, when it comes to preparation, preparation is me, because I is the champion. So when I have to prepare, I just have to continually be myself, because I'm the best. And I just go out there, lay it down the line, give myself 120%, and just go out there and get it done. Got to get it done.
Does it seem superficial to you that you're so focused on how you look? Do you realize that this is a big problem?
After last year's victory, a lot of people said that you won by dirty tactics. Do you think that's true?
I hadn't actually thought of it until you just asked it, because I really think the game of preaching is about dragging people where they don't want to go. And so, if by dirty, if you mean that I drag little pencil neck geek Brian Wells through the mud and trounced on his little fingers, then yeah, I did that. And you got any problem with that? I am a very physical person, but I'm looking to show that I've got the full spectrum of game. And so this year, I've really been grooming my intellect. This is about life. This is about reality. This is not about, like, coming up and wowing people with your vocabulary and intellect. If you want to take it to the intellect game, I'm going to do that this year. I could rely on my superior physicality, but this year, I'm going to do my verbality is what I'm going to get on. I'm going to get on my verbality. It's just like Sugar Ray. Sugar Ray went in mano a mano with Roberto Duran. He could have just done it all quick and everything, and he could have won that way, but there came a time when he had to go toe-to-toe with him and say, look, I'll beat you your own game. And so this year with Brian Wells, I'm going to beat him at his own game. If he wants to play the intellectual game, then I'll do the intellectual game. If he wants to do EMG squared, whatever it is, then I'll go at that with him. Whatever he wants to do, whatever field it's going to be, I'm going to lace up my shoes, I'm going to bring my Bible and my dictionary, and we're going to get it on.
In sharp contrast to Brian Tome, Brian Wells is working more on a physical game.
I'm okay.
Brian, can you tell us what you've done to prepare for this year's Super Bowl?
Well, Susan, I mean, I took a look at a lot of the tape from last year and just realized, you know, intellectually, I mean, let's face it, Brian Tome is not quite there. So I figured it was really on the physical piece I needed to ramp up. So my focus has really been bringing my physical level up to where my mental capacity already is.
There's rumors of you having a secret weapon. Do you care to comment on that?
I cannot confirm nor deny the existence of a secret weapon. I can only tell you that there is one. And another thing, a message for you, Tiny Tome. We're coming at you this year. I'm not taking a fall. We're coming right at you. We're going to take the 9 o'clock. We're going to take the 10:20. We're going to take the 11:40. We're going to kick Brian Tome right off that stage. Yeah!
Brian Wells obviously going for the Howard Dean vote. You take anything from the smack talk between these two?
I don't. I think it's all show. We'll see when the whistle blows.
All right. Shaping up to be a great game. Right now, let's head down to the field for the introduction of today's starting lineups. All right, you can see it's starting to build. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please rise and join two-time Tony, three-time Emmy, five-time Grammy Award winner Denise Gonzalez in the singing of our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the home of the brave, the brave.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated, and we will be right back with the coin toss and the opening kick.
Official Tracy Jones Louisville Slugger, $129. Over the Door Basketball Hoop, $14.95. Brian Tome Special Edition Starting Lineup Sports Figure, $220.59. Autographed copy of Pete Rose's Guide to Basic Blackjack Strategy, currently 79 cents on eBay. The fact that we've reached the point in our service where we take up an offering, and that if you're a guest here, we in no way expect you to participate in this part of the service, because this is the time when those who call Crossroads their home can have a chance to give back to what's going on here, priceless. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's Crossroads.
Today's Overhead Blimp Cam coverage has been brought to you by the Overhead Blimp Cam Coverage Company. Specializing in Overhead Blimp Cam coverage, the Overhead Blimp Cam Coverage Company is proud to service all your Overhead Blimp Cam coverage needs. Now on the web at www.overheadblimpcamcoverage.com.
It is the Super Bowl, and that means only the best of the best are here. That includes our referee, Greg Hewitt, not only the best referee, but as the ladies of Crossroads will attest in these pants, a Pro Bowl tight end. Let's head down to the field for the coin toss.
All right, gentlemen, this is heads. This back it off. This is heads. This is tails. Brian Wells, call it in the air.
Heads. No, tails.
Brian Wells.
He said heads.
Brian Wells.
Controversy right off the bat, Brad.
Brian, would you like to kick or receive?
We want to kick off.
All right, Brian Wells will kick. Brian Tome will receive.
Okay, a controversial coin toss.
Take
heads, tails, not exactly sure where it went. And I think maybe the most controversial thing is Wells has decided to kick off, even though he knows Tome's like to come out strong.
Kick it on my
exactly
whistle.
Right, not a good decision from a conservative coach.
All right, Tome has it. He will take it first and 10. If you have an idea of what he might do to start this whole thing off, what would it be?
He's going to try to force a point right away, but expect a simple prayer. Nothing comp this guy.
Let's pray. God, thanks for today. It's going to be a fun day. It's been a fun day already, and I pray in the midst of our fun that you meet us in a very unique place and help us to grow and see you in a way that we've never seen you before, and maybe ourselves in a way we've never seen ourselves. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, we're going to talk today about the idea of what separates losers from winners. And part of it is disciplines or spiritual disciplines, things that we connect up with God. And in effect, it actually has a massive impact on the totality of our lives. And the Super Bowl reminds us of that. I mean, Super Bowl is arguably the greatest holiday that we have now as Americans. I mean, really. I mean, it cuts across religious lines, whatever religion you affiliate yourself with. It cuts across gender lines. It cuts across race lines. It cuts across socioeconomic lines. I mean, it is becoming a massive holiday. How many of us are going to do a Super Bowl party today? Raise your hand. How many Super Bowl party? I mean, this is amazing. I mean, 20 years ago, people just watched the game. Now there's all festivities around it. There's something that sports does to us as a country. And this is the way sports has often been. The Olympics is an ancient event because it brought people together and it gave a cause for a celebration. There was also something else that happened in the early time, early centuries. It was called the Isthmian Games. The Isthmian Games took place in the city of Corinth. And this was the setting of one of the early letters of the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians, which was written to the Corinthian church. And the Apostle Paul, who actually started that church, wrote a letter back to them that we now have today included in the New Testament portion of the Bible. And we're going to take a look at that today. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man or woman, running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Today's game, there's going to be a definite winner. There's going to be a definite loser. That's the way it was in the Isthmian Games and the Olympics. There's definite winners, definite losers. But what he's talking about here, the game called life, everybody can be a winner. Because winning is not dependent upon what somebody else does. It's dependent upon what you do and your attitude towards God in life. You ever notice in high school how some people were always the more popular? And it really had nothing to do with their effort or how they tried. It was their God-given clear skin or their God-given physical qualities or their God-given relational skills. And then you had people who we went to high school with who weren't that popular. Maybe they had zits, or maybe they, you know, weren't involved in some of the, you know, activities that people respected more. And have you ever gone to like a 10-year reunion or a 20-year reunion and noticed that there's a flip in roles oftentimes? You know, the people that were at the top of the ladder, quote, top of the ladder, are now at the bottom of the ladder. And people who were, you know, made fun of are oftentimes advancing in life. This is similar to spirituality. It's very similar.
I like how Tom has started out here, and he's brought in the games, the Olympics. You know, we talked about the intellectual factor. He is even able to pronounce Isthmian, which was strong. The reunion crap, though, I'm not exactly sure where that comes from. My understanding is he didn't even attend his 20th reunion.
You have to be wondering what he's thinking right here. But last year started so much stronger with Tommy Boy.
I like Tommy Boy as well. This may be a little weaker at this point.
You know, in the early years of our life, we can get away with our God-given talents. I could win the Presidential Fitness Award when I was a kid, and what did I do to get it? I'd go home after school, eat cheese curls, and watch Speed Racer. I could do that, but yet have the ability to do the shuttle run in under 10 seconds. You know, now as I get older and my muscles start to atrophy and my muscles get a little stiffer, you know, I can't do that anymore. I've got to substitute the treadmill for Speed Racer. And this is where all of us have to come to a place of saying it's not just about who I naturally am. I have to actually do something to grow. Sort of like this guy.
Oh, we've got a penalty.
Yes. First mistake of the day.
Emotional encroachment, number 48.
Emotional encroachment. I haven't seen, this is the first time I've seen this one.
Yes, back to back, going reunion and then Titanic, going for the touchy-feely. It's not working, Brett.
Well, you know, and understandably, I talked to his wife before the game, and she said that he's actually listening to a Celine Dion CD in his car. That may be where this thing pulled out. All right, that's a penalty. 5 yards back. It's second and 10, second and 15 now.
All right, so let's talk about the difference between winners and losers. Number one, not looters, losers. Number one, losers long to arrive. Winners long to grow. Neither quarterback in today's game woke up able to throw a 60-yard pass. They woke up at some point in their life liking football. They liked throwing it, and they enjoyed the 5-yard pass. They enjoyed the 20 and the 30, and they enjoyed the process of growth as opposed to having this picture-perfect ideal of what an NFL quarterback would look like. Same with the coaches today. If you've ever seen an NFL playbook and tried to digest it, it is meaty intellectual stuff. And neither of those coaches said, man, I want to be an NFL coach right now. Instead, they had a love for the game, and they grew in their knowledge of it until they came where they were right now. And what losers do is they have this picture of what they want to be, but they really have no idea how to get from here to there. They don't know how to translate anything into a win. They end up being committed to excessive success, but don't understand the process of growth. And their addiction to successiveness will ultimately lead to...
Oh, we got a fumble, balls loose. Successiveness is not a word.
Not a word. Sit down.
First turnover of the game. Let's see what Wells does with his first possession.
You know, before I talk about success, though, I do want to apologize to anybody that I happened to blast it into when we were running in this morning. First service, actually, somebody with a full cup of coffee, or what used to be a full cup of coffee, blasted into in the back. I think they were a new person. We tried to convince them it was the meet the pastor coffee, but I don't think they quite bought it. So, you know, success, it's interesting when you look at the lives of people that have exhibited tendencies to bring them success in whatever area. We're not just talking about kind of physical success or athletic success or business success, even spiritual success, achieving the goals you believe God has for you in your life. When you look at people who have experienced a measure of success, often they look a little bit different.
often sometimes we can look at the traits that they exhibit or the disciplines that they've put into their life, and they look a little strange. They look a little weird. They look a little different. And that is because it's only a small number of people who actually pay the price that is needed for real success. And so there are a lot of people who want to experience the spoils of success in their life, in whatever area that it is, but they don't want to make the sacrifice. They don't want to pay the price. So somebody who incorporates those kind of disciplines can often look strange or be kind of set apart from the rest of the crowd. I was hearing somebody talk recently about running a marathon for the first time, decided this was something they were going to do in their life. They trained really hard, and they ran a marathon. And they said, you know, the first couple miles of the marathon, it was actually, you know, a really big charge, you know, and they were running, and they'd come around the corner, and they'd come to where there's a big crowd of people, and people just kind of cheering them on. It would give them a big surge of energy. All these people yelling, you can do it, you can do it! You know, and that kind of got him through the first couple miles. He said, but then after a couple miles later, he started looking a little bit closer at the people that were cheering him on, you know, and it wasn't quite as inspiring, you know. Apparently, these people weren't, you know, really leading by example, you might say. So he'd be running along, you can do it, you can do it. And he would look down, it'd be somebody sitting in a lawn chair with a 12-pack of Krispy Kremes. You know, either, you can do it, you can do it, you know. You can finish, you can finish. Just like I'm going to finish this cigarette. Yeah. Apparently, they were with him, but they weren't really with him. Because the disciplines he was incorporating actually set him apart from everyone else. Discipline can actually make you stand out.
Okay, I think we can see why Wells kicked off here. He knew that Tome was going to turn it over early, come out a little bit too jacked up. He's making some good points. Obviously, time of possession is a factor for him. Little light on the ball at this point, but Big Mo turns, and I believe momentum is in
his
favor. Yes,
no question about it. He recovered the fumble, ran with the ball, big momentum swing. Thing you can't do now is anything that would stop that momentum.
Sure.
Time out.
Where is this coming from?
It's way too early to waste those timeouts, particularly from a smart conservative coach like Wells.
Well, he's going so strong, and then suddenly he decides to okay. We talked about this quote-unquote secret weapon. This seems awfully early for that secret weapon.
It is early, and this must be the secret. What is that, folks? What is that?
Oh, no.
This is it.
Brian Wells has brought out the Harley.
Yes, sir.
Touchdown, Brian Wells.
Whoa, big play.
He's taken the Harley totally away from Brian Tome.
Yes, he has. He's turned the tables. Big success on a gadget play. Big momentum swing. What do we got here?
Out. Tome has tossed the red flag. He is challenging the play.
What?
I want to protest that play. That is not a Harley.
Oh.
Brian Tome is protesting the play.
Quick challenge here, Brad.
Okay, Tome is challenging that this motorcycle is not, in fact, a Harley Davidson. Greg Hewitt will now head into the puppet show, take a look and see what he can find. He's found something. All right, it hasn't taken him long to review the play. Now let's go down to the field. Greg Hewitt with the call.
After further review, the motorcycle is a Honda, not a Harley. It's not even American-made, for crying out loud.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes!
The touchdown is reversed. The bike is ejected. First and 10, Brian Tome.
Yes!
Wow. So he goes for the gimmick play. It backfires on him. He's going to have to take the Harley away.
Yes.
The Honda away.
Yes. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
You know, one of the things that that winners have is they have this desire to win as defined by the desire to grow. And I think when we understand that, we can see things in a different light. Tom Brady had an article on him in ESPN magazine recently as the quarterback for the Patriots. And here's what ESPN said about Tom Brady. Brady doesn't like losing well, which is exactly why he's accomplished so much the Patriot with so little to work with. It doesn't matter, ultimately, when we come to a place in our life, how much we have to work with, what God has given us. The question is, are we growing from where we are right now? And if we are, then we're a winner. And if we don't like that, then something should not feel right to us. I like what Vince Lombardi said. You know, he said, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. And we all, and you should be laughing at that. That's one of my favorite quotes. And good, there you are. You know, we should all be coming to this place where we go, man, you know, I just don't like staying the same way I am. I don't like it. It doesn't feel right to me. I don't like just being satisfied with the bar scene. I don't like what, you know, having the casual level of relationship or the casual level of sex that I'm having right now. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that I am still stressed out financially, and I don't like where I am. And I don't like either that, spiritually speaking, I'm not growing more. I'm not praying more. I'm not understanding more of God more. And I don't like, you know, even though I might have arrived as far as getting married relationally, that was a goal of mine, and I've arrived. I don't like the fact that just because I said I do, that doesn't mean jack as far as actually having a marriage of intimacy and a marriage of value. We have to come to a place where we say, I want more out of all those things. I want more out of my marriage.
It's the end of the quarter.
All right, we've reached the end of the first quarter. Assess what you've seen so far, John.
Well, big start by Tome.
Oh,
what do we got here?
We got a penalty after the fact.
Yeah.
Illegal use of hands, number 48, number 32.
Well, while we were analyzing the end.
Unnecessary roughness.
It's something I missed. See if we can go to the instant replay and see what we missed here.
Let's see. The guys in the booth did a great job. He goes in the back pocket, pulls out the wallet. Look at Tom here. Look at here, right here. Takes the money, and then now look at this right here. Takes the credit card. What is that? An Ann Taylor credit card? I don't know what's worse, taking it or having it in the wallet.
Okay.
And then, there, Brad. There's the unnecessary roughness. Right at the end there. Did you catch that?
I think it's very clear. Great job by our crew. That's a big, big, big penalty right there. Obviously some trouble with the clock there.
The second thing at the start of the second quarter that separates winners from losers is that losers try and winners train. Losers try, winners train. You know, in our adult years, we've got a substitute trying. We got to substitute that for training. I can't do Speed Racer anymore. If I want to do anything physically, I got to substitute the treadmill for Speed Racer. And this is what we see in that passage in 1 Corinthians when it says this. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. The guy who's writing this says, hey, look, we see these athletes, and when they want to win, they go into strict training. And they do that just to get this wreath put around them that's going to go bad, that's going to rot, or just to get a piece of metal around their neck that's going to tarnish someday. And what the Apostle Paul says is someday all of us, every last one of us, is going to go before God, and we're going to get a reward, we're going to get commended, and it's going to last for eternity. If these people train themselves so hard for this temporary thing, how much more should we train ourselves in the game of life to honor God? And this is the difference between losers and winners. Winners understand the discipline of training. And they understand that I have to overcome obstacles that are myself and other things that are in my path. I had a very depressing thing happen to me a couple days ago. I played tennis with my daughter, and for the very first time, she beat me. Very depressing, not a good thing. You know, my book, and this might sound sexist, but I'll say it anyway. In my book, 38-year-old men don't lose to 13-year-old girls. You know, that's just not... That it was very awful. First time ever. She was happy. I'm depressed. If there's any silver lining in it, it's that I get something to talk about because it fits into this point right here. There's a reason. There's a reason why that happened. It's because I try when I play tennis. I try. And I play some in the summer when I go on a summer study break, and I play maybe once or twice the rest of the year. I try. Lena trains. Whatever God has given me in terms of natural hand-eye coordination or wherever my physical fitness is at that moment, I try the best I can. But Lena trains. She takes lessons. She'll go to a clinic. She'll enter matches. You know, and so what's back from this, I don't know if I'm going down, but she's come up and she just passed me. And it's because of the discipline of training. Everything in your life that you want to grow at, you must identify what is the thing I'm going to train. You know, when I first became a Christ follower, I found out there's a difference between a Christian and a churchgoer. There's a big difference. You know, just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you a car. And I would go to church every weekend. And so finally I figured out, someone told me, explained to me what it means to have a relationship with Christ, and I became a Christ follower. And then what happened was people start saying, hey, man, you got to have a quiet time. You got to have a quiet time. I'm going, what? I have quiet times. I have quiet time of day. It's when I go poopy and read Sports Illustrated.
No,
that's
no,
when I have
can't.
My,
no.
that's when I have
Wait
my
a
quiet
minute.
Time.
Church. Not in church.
No penalty on that.
No, nothing sacred. Well, no holds barred. The refs are letting him play.
He just said he's going for a poopy and there's no penalty.
So they said, no, what it is you got to get together with God every day and you got to quiet your heart down. You got to get together with God every day and do things like read the Bible, do things like pray to him, do things like just be still and quiet and see if he says anything to you. And so I said, well, okay, if that's what I got to do, I got to do it. And I would do this, and for years, nothing would ever come of it. I would feel guilty because I wouldn't do it very frequently, or when I did it, I'd feel guilty. My mind would wander, and then something finally triggered for me. So when I read Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, the very first one, back when his hair was halfway normal, and in that book, in the very first page of that book, he talks about what his daily training discipline is. He gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning, reads the Wall Street Journal, and thinks through how that's going to impact his day. And I thought to myself, wow, that's it. If Donald Trump exhibits that level of training, that level of discipline to pursue the almighty dollar, what should my training discipline be like if I want to pursue the almighty God? And then I finally understood, it's a matter of training. I've got to have something in my life to grow in whatever I want. I've got to do something regular with God in order to be the kind of person that God looks at and he smiles on.
It's the end of the first half.
Okay, we've reached the end of the first half. John,
okay. All right.
We can go into it a little bit further, but, first thoughts from me, just initially, I can tell my sources were wrong. There's no way the salivary glands were surgically removed from Tome. We can see that. I think he was obviously a little bit too jacked up. I think penalties on both sides still hurt the guys.
Yeah, mistakes will kill him in the first half. And then Brian Wells, lack of... time of possession. You can't score if you don't have the ball. And Tome, best defense is a good offense.
Right. Okay. All right. We'll come back to assess that, bring back some of the highlights of the first half. But right now, it's time for your halftime entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, let me present to you the Bucket Boys.
Bucket Boys. Outstanding halftime entertainment. John, we take a look back at the first half. A couple of points made by Brian Tome. Take us through them.
Number one, losers arrive, winners grow. Super Bowl teams get better over the course of the season, and that's evident. Number two, losers try, winners train. We'll see in the fourth quarter if Tome and Wells are in shape.
Okay, did he make the point? Question is, can they finish? Do you expect a strong finish here?
I do, no doubt about it. It'll be a great contest the rest of the way.
Let's go to start the second half.
We're going to keep having fun the rest of our time here today, but I do want to, you know, kind of crank it down a bit because here at the halftime, I want to just make sure we understand that while we're having a lot of fun today, this is really important stuff. It is very important, and it comes right from the Bible itself, and that's why this stuff is in the Bible. All these points are here. We're not making this up. This is basic stuff of how life works, basic stuff of how God wants us to structure our lives, and basic Bible stuff. And so the third thing that we see in this passage is that losers are busy and winners are intentional. Losers are busy, winners are intentional. And here's how we see this in the book of 1 Corinthians. That passage says this. Therefore, I do not run like a man or woman running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave. You know, we have to come to this point in our life where we realize that he who is busiest or she who is busiest isn't necessarily best. Some of us wear on our sleeve like a badge of honor how full our day timer is. Some of us wear on our sleeve like a badge of honor that we don't take any time off and we work 60-hour weeks all the time. We can't remember the last time we had a vacation. We can't remember. And we think that somehow we're impressing other people and we're impressing God with that. The people who are going to win the game today are not the people who practiced the longest. They're the people that were the most intentional in their training disciplines to be able to do the right things today. They were able to control themselves. Last week we talked about when God invades your world, we talked about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit invades your life, what starts to naturally happen is you start to get the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, that kind of thing, and self-control. Self-control. The ability to control yourself, control your busy schedule, is part of how you know whether or not God is actively involved in your life. The ability to control your sexual urges. The ability to control your relational desires. The ability to control anything. We have to be wise about that. Not busy, but very intentional about the things that we invest our time with. I remember Brian Wells talked about something that is an important thing that he regularly does, and I thought, man, why don't you come up and just kind of share that training discipline of yours?
Actually, can I have the stuff from my wallet first? The card.
I won't be using that card, Jack.
You know, we were talking earlier about how sometimes the disciplines of somebody who's going to win in some area of life can actually seem a little strange or weird to those who don't need to pay the same price or haven't made that choice. And I know there's one that I had heard of before that I always thought, man, that is just strange. That is, you know, you want to talk weird. And then I've heard about people memorizing scripture, memorizing parts of the Bible. And I thought, man, that's something that, what, you did two choices. You know, you should either do that when you're in second grade because you have to, you know, or you do that because you're a monk, you know, and those are the only people. Otherwise, you know, how weird does that get, memorizing the Bible? What's up with that? But then what was interesting is I came to a point in my life, this was maybe a couple of years out of college, and I was really struggling with something, more so than in the rest of my life I had, and it was lust. And, you know, not that we don't all deal with this, you know, and I still deal with it on a daily basis, but this time in my life, it was becoming a significant issue. And I looked around me and I looked at the practices that I was doing and what I was doing. I said, you know what, I am not going to find the kind of woman that I want to marry repeating the same kind of habits that I am. I have got to get a handle on this because it's not only that I was, you know, struggling with lust, I was losing. I was losing the battle. And I said, something, you know, has got to change here. So out of, you know, desperation, you know, just because nothing else was seeming to work, I started looking through the Bible at what the Bible might have to say about sexual temptation and just dealing with temptations in general. And I found myself, somebody told me to, you know, read that
book in the Bible called Proverbs that we talk about here in a lot, that Old Testament collection of wisdom. And in Proverbs, it's got some sections that specifically talk about sexual temptation. Disciplines we can incorporate to be at a healthier place in that, and also the price that if we don't pay that price, what will happen. And I remember this one verse that I kept coming across, Proverbs 5:8, and it basically says when talking about temptation, don't go near the door of its house. Keep to a path far from it. And then also a little bit later in Proverbs 7:27, it says that its house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. You know, that kind of raw language about the cost, the price that you'll pay in your life if you don't incorporate this. And I wasn't trying to memorize scripture at all. I just found myself frustrated and kept going back to those areas. And then, sure enough, after a while, I found that I would be in some place. Maybe I would be on a business trip. And having had a long, stressful day, and just back in the hotel that night and turning on the TV for a little bit before I went to sleep, found myself channel surfing and going, you know, to some of those channels that my eyes just didn't need to go to. And that verse would pop up, keep to a path far from it. Do not go near the door of its house. And I realized, you know what? I might not be doing anything wrong right now with the TV on, but I am not in a path far from it. I need to pay a price here and keep to a path far from it. Otherwise, and then that verse would come up again in my mind. Its house is a highway to the grave leading down to the chambers of death. And it's not like it was any kind of magic bullet, you know, but it did significantly help me. And through that, I came to a healthier place in my life and then brought a healthier person into my marriage than I was before. Still wrestle with it on a continual basis. But just having that scripture kind of embedded in my heart that would pop up when I was maybe wandering to the wrong area of the magazine rack or whatever that it would be, really came alive to me and helped me in that discipline. And it reminded me of a later part in Proverbs, in Proverbs 3, where it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's what I was doing by being an accidental memorizer of Scripture. I was writing it on my heart so that it was with me all the time. And then look what it says. Then you will win. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And to become a winner in that area of my life, I needed to write that on my heart. So one discipline, it still seems a little weird to me, but it's one that's played out in a lot of other areas of my life as well. When I've stumbled across a part of the Bible that's meant a lot to me, over time, committing that to memory, it pops up exactly when I need it.
Thanks, Ben. That's very helpful.
We were just talking about temptation.
Yes, we were, right there. Three intentional disciplines to close out our time. Three intentional disciplines for you to think about. Number one is the discipline of the dailies. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. And the dailies is not my word invention, believe it or not. This is actually a monastic term. The dailies are the things the cloistered nuns or monks do on a daily basis to keep the community rolling. The cleaning, the scrubbing, the upkeep. And no matter where you are, and there is a leadership structure in monastic communities, no matter where you are in the leadership structure, everyone must participate in the dailies. And there must be things that are in your life that are kind of like dailies that help you grow. Brad and John talked earlier about momentum. You're definitely going to hear it in the game at some point today, momentum. This thing of when a game starts going, the team starts feeling good about itself, things start picking up and great things start to happen. Some of us feel depressed about where we are in life right now because we have no momentum. How many of us, one-twelfth of our time into our year, have followed every one of our New Year's resolutions? Go ahead, be an extrovert. I'd love to see you. One, good, you probably didn't make any. Well, probably, no, you had one, no, I'm sure you did, you did a great job. But, you know, one of the reasons why we don't, some of us don't even do it anymore is because we just become so frustrated. Because we say, here's all the things I'm going to do, I'm not going to do this. The key to growth is the dailies, and the key to the dailies is to gain momentum through one thing. So instead of saying, I want to get my body in shape because that's something God cares about, and so I'm going to do these five things, just say, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to drink 64 ounces of water a day, which is a very healthy thing to do. You ever notice that some kids don't listen to their parents? Do you know why that is? Because they don't respect the voice of the parent, because there's not discipline, or there's not something that goes along with when the child doesn't listen to the parent's voice. Same thing with managers and bosses. The ones that get listened to are the ones who follow through in their voice, the ones who reward according to results, and the ones who actually fire somebody when the company's values have been compromised. And one of the reasons why you and I don't grow is we don't respect our own voice. Because we've told ourselves things, and we have a track record of not following through in the things that we tell ourselves. And so what you do is you start to build momentum. You say to yourself, I'm going to drink 64 ounces of water for the next 2 weeks, and at the end of 2 weeks you go, my goodness, I did it. I drank 64 ounces of water. You start to trust your voice. You start to listen to yourself. When I'm on the treadmill, I'll look at, you know, how much time is it? I'm going to do 30 more seconds. If I don't think I can do 6 minutes, I don't say 6 minutes. I say 30 seconds. Because I know once I tell myself 30 seconds, I will go 30 seconds. If I'm throwing up at 25 seconds, I will go 30 seconds. Because I don't want to break the consistency of once I've told myself something, I want to keep doing it. And that is the way momentum is. You listen to yourself. If you want to grow your marriage, you have to think through what are the disciplines and the momentum I'm going to put to build my marriage. Lib and I realized that after 15 years of marriage, winter is normally our worst time in our marriage. We realize it's because the other times of year, we can actually go outside, and we accidentally had this discipline where we would go outside on the deck at night once the kids went to bed and actually talk. And so now we said, wow, this is a discipline. We need to figure out how to do this as a regular training mechanism to help our marriage grow. And that's the way it is with everything in our life. You want to have more conversation with your kids, you've got to have a discipline for it. You can't just say, well, how was your day today? Fine. You got to do something like, let's all talk right now about the best and worst and get people talking. Everything in our lives. A few years ago, I started to realize people who were closest to me on staff or volunteers I served with, I needed to build some more relational community with them. We were doing things, we were functioning as a work team, but there was a relational element that needed to increase. And so I had to think through, what are the dailies I'm going to put in place and put a regular weekly prayer time in place every week, stand up doing that. Other things we did, one of them you might have noticed, you know, Brian Wells and I are wearing the same watch today. You know, we didn't plan that, and it wasn't part of the set budget for today's series. What that was actually is part of a discipline I developed a few years ago, and I realized if I can take all staff and spouses and board members and spouses away to a growth experience offsite here once a year, and then have a time at the end of that where I can build into people and compliment people and give a gift associated with a positive character quality, I'm going to do that. And so every year, for the last several years, I've been doing that. And this year, I gave people heart monitors. And when I gave them all an individual heart monitor, I just called out something about their heart that was awesome. And I just called it out and I said, let's all watch the condition of our hearts because this is going to be a huge run we have this next year. And that's a discipline, that's a mechanism that's built incredible community in the midst of us. It's a discipline of the dailies, it's a discipline of the off-season. God has the discipline of the off-season. You know what it's called? It's called the Sabbath. It's one of God's top 10 commandments. Take a Sabbath, one day out of seven, and keep it holy. If you can't identify the last day that you took off, if you can't, and I mean off. I don't mean like checking your email and your voice, I mean off. If you can't identify when the regular vacation times you do or the trips away, you might not be having an off season, which is what we need. Football can't be played 12 months a year. There must be an off season to recuperate our system. I had to take a look at my marriage and realize, man, we need off seasons in our marriage where I just schedule away little trips throughout the course of the year to keep us strong. We all need an off season. There's a discipline of celebration, the third thing, the discipline of celebration. Now, there's a lot of different disciplines, but I'm just talking about the three that I see that are critical. Some of you, I have you so busted right now. You are so busted, let me tell you. Some of you are sitting here with an attitude this whole service going, this isn't church. This doesn't work. This doesn't count. Because church and what counts and what God likes is boring. What God likes and what's really spiritual is painful. I'm having fun right now. This can't be right. Where did you get that idea? Let me tell you something. You didn't get that from the Bible. And you didn't get that from God. There is a discipline of celebration. The Old Testament, God's people, the Jews, they would have regularly planned festivals, celebrations. One of the things that's the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy. Joy. That you should be a person of celebration who's got this attitude of joy. I talk to some people who say, man, I love God. I'm like, well, tell your face. Would you tell your face? Because your face doesn't get that. the discipline of celebration. We did this service last year. I don't know if we're going to do it again next year or not, but I will tell you this, is that this is a regular celebration for our community. We talk about some heavy stuff around here, and we all need times to come and just go, man, I just need to laugh. I need to let some steam out. And we all need to celebrate. We need regular intervals of celebration, and it's a discipline for us to do that. Some of us, we think that we have got to be perfect before we can come to God. We think that before I really become a Christ follower, I have to nail all this checklist, all this stuff I've been hearing or reading about. I need to like do this relationally. I need to do this financially. I need to not do that sexually. I need to do this. I need to believe this. I need to not believe. We think that once we hit the checklist, then I can come to God. And that's not the way it works. First, we say, God, I want to come to you. And then together, I want to grow. Together, I want to become the person that you designed me to be. Book of Galatians says this in conclusion. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? We say, God, I don't want to try to approve of myself. I don't want other people to commend me. I want to start living my life right now with you. So you'll look at me and you'll say, well done. Well done. All God desires is for us to be in the midst of a relationship with him, growing in the things that he's passionate about. Let's pray. God, thank you for today, and thank you for our time, and I just ask that you would do with this whatever needs to happen in the heart of every person in here. It's the name of Christ I pray. Amen. Oh, and by the way, before we got a couple more things here before we do it. One little thing, you know, it's a discipline of celebration. You know, it's fun to this thing, but it can't be fun 5 minutes from now. You all need to leave. Don't hang out in the atrium because we do not have the parking spots for the next crew. So let's have celebration fun for 5 more minutes and then leave. Okay, so let me get off stage for a minute.
Wow, great closing from Tome. John, I guess we call this one a tie. We're thrilled to have all of you here. This is the second year of John and I sitting up here doing this, and I know, John, during this time last year, you were kind of going through a huge decision-making situation for you in your life. You were a coach with the Bengals, had been offered a scouting job, deciding whether or not you were going to coach somewhere else, decided to stay. What has the year been like for you?
Well, it's been a year that has been a tremendous growth year for me, more than any other of the 38 years of my life. And while I was driving to the airport this fall to embark on a scouting season where I was gone Monday through Friday from September 1st to November 20th, going around the country looking at players from different schools, I was driving to the airport and I said, God, why are you doing this? Why are you taking me from my family all this time? What am I to learn from this? And it was a great perspective year. I really struggled with the not being able to coach and not having the prestige or title of being an NFL coach. And what God taught me was what was really important in life. And if I were coaching this year, I would have not had the chance to witness my son John Morgan get his first quarterback sack as a peewee football player. I would not have been able to see my daughters cheer for his team if I were coaching it. And God really taught me in a variety of ways, because in scouting you have a lot of time by yourself, a lot of driving, a lot of plane rides, a lot of time. I've been in those hotel rooms that Brian Wells talked about, and he has given me the daily disciplines to enable me to grow, to from the daily time in the Word and prayer to put up those defenses against those temptations, and that daily training has really enabled me to have a different perspective and realize what our true purpose is on life. And I've seen it with the Cincinnati Bengals. We grew to become a winning team this year because a great man of God in Marvin Lewis Emphasize the daily disciplines. Play this play. Don't worry about things you can't control. Then play the next play, regardless of what happens. And then play the next play. And that daily training, that intentional focus, allowed our team to grow into winners. And it started with a little success and then more success. And it snowballed. And we just gathered momentum and we really made a splash on the league. And it's just going to continue because of those daily disciplines that I was able to also apply to my spiritual development, and it was really a great year for me.
And you've been a big blessing to the Crossroads community as well, so we're thrilled to have you here. This was my first volunteer effort last year on this Super Bowl, and it was just probably a couple of months before that time that I had really, in a panic with my own life, come to Brian's home and said, I have absolutely no time to get involved in church, so I'm going to. And it was kind of about that discipline. What was I going to change in my life? I had been searching for so long to try and figure out how to be happy, and nothing had worked. And I was in that Galatians verse, and I was answering the question the wrong way. I was serving to try and impress man. It was part of my job. I needed people to like me. I needed to figure out how I was going to impress the next person, and yet none of that was giving me happiness in my professional life, in my personal life, in my marriage. And I was probably at a crossroads a year ago and working towards that and making the decision on my dailies of where I was going to go. And I was no longer just going to be a Christian who came to church. I was going to be a man who followed Christ. And I thought when I made that decision, life was going to be a lot easier. And instead, it got a lot tougher because I had to shed off all of the things that I'd been carrying that weren't Christian. And I had to become an honest and real man and a different from the person that people had seen either on TV or in person, the person that I was supposed to be. And got involved in a men's group in Crossroads. Got involved in starting the group that allowed other men in this community to be able to get into purpose-driven life. And the beginning of that book, if you haven't checked it out, it's a must. The beginning of it is, it's not about me, it's about God. And when I finally realized that my life was no longer about serving me and what I was going to do next, it was about what I could do for God next, life changed. My marriage has never been in a better situation. My life has never been in a better situation because of the difficulties that we've gone through to search out and seek Christ. And I want to thank so many members of the Crossroads community for welcoming me into this community and allowing me to share that as well. So thank you very much. We will get you out of here because we've got to, but before we do that, John and I last year hit it right on the head. We picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as winners in the Super Bowl. You want to make your pick this year?
Yes, three keys to the game. Brady's a better quarterback than DeLome. The Patriots will stop the Carolina run game, and they'll put a lot of pressure on DeLome. Patriots 24, Panthers 10.
I got to go along with you. I think Patriots in this one, but you know, it could be the underdog here. Thanks for coming. Enjoy your holiday.